Now this morning, we're going to jump back into Romans, and we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and I think it fits right in line with our heart for the house this morning. But we've been kind of on a road trip through Romans, and today we're going to call it Rules for the Road. Now I just want to know if there's, when I was a kid, there was a family that they did not let their kids or anybody eat in their car. I just want to know if there's anybody that there's no food allowed in your car. So Rules for the Road, you do no food in your car. Right here, we've got one. Anybody else? I love it. I knew there would be, back here too, there's a couple. Okay, that is like a real deal rule. If you ever sit with us in our car, you quickly would know. You would not have to get in our car to know. That is not a rule in our car. And our car reveals that in a large way. Now, some of us, maybe many of us, have the rule, when you eat in your car, then you take the food out of the car when you're done. Some of you do really well with that, and then others, like us, maybe or maybe it doesn't happen. I will say, just in our defense, we have 5 kids, so there's 7 of us, so if we were going to get everything out of the car, we'd have to go all the way in the back, and our van's big. It's like a 15-passenger full thing. We don't do that, and so sometimes things may happen or get left there that we realize them because of the smell they leave just a few days later. Now, there's nothing better than getting into a van on a nice, hot, 100-degree day or so, and then you can't breathe because of the smell that has happened. Right? There's rules that are in place sometimes because you don't want to get in your van and not be able to breathe because there's milk in the back or whatever other item there might be. It makes you want to have the rules like these two that say no food, absolutely not. In fact, I bet that rule came from some sort of similar thing, which was, I can't even get in my car. We're not doing food ever again in the car, right? There's rules that we have. One of our youth pastors, Pastor Rob, many years ago, he would always, anytime you would ask, he would just say, I think it was 4 hours, but whatever the hours was, 4 hours till we get there. If it was a 5-minute drive, if it was a 40-hour drive, which they drove to North Dakota, so that wasn't 40 hours, but it was a long way, it was always 4 hours. So driving to the Columbus Convention Center from here. How long till we get there? 4 hours. See. How long till we stop to go to the bathroom? 4 hours. Now, when you're on a trip and it's been 2.5, 3 hours, and you have to really go to the bathroom, and your youth pastor says 4 hours, that can like cause anxiety within you. In a big way, right? But he always said, I don't want to be asked how long. We're going to get there when we get there. We're going to stop when we stop. We're going to do whatever it is. There's different rules in different vehicles. We just pray there's no screaming in our car. But I mentioned before, we have 5 kids. So that rule is broke all the time. And if anybody can help us with our parenting to stop the screaming, we would take it. Because periodically, you just want to pull the car over and take care of the problem. Now, I was thinking about it, and I don't know that I've done that, maybe ever, but if so, it's been a long time. But I have certainly threatened multiple times. Don't make me stop this car, right? And then I'm like, that's just like my parents. That's just like what the TV would say. Like, oh boy. But there's rules for the road. There's rules when you get on the road of how you're going to survive a road trip together. There's things that you do. Maybe, like us, when we decided we were going to adopt our fifth child, we had 4, and then we adopted 1. I said, we are getting a large van, so they all have their own bucket seat in this car, so that no one can almost reach each other. Now, somehow, they still reach each other. They reach across, even buckled in. They can somehow get across, but there's rules. There's things you come up with. And we think of the Word of God. I think God speaks over and over and over. He gives us rules. He gives us guidelines. He gives us principles. He lays out things to say, come on, you can do this. You can be who I've called you to be. You can overcome things in your life. But here's some guidelines. Here's some rules. Some are commandments. It's not like a you could do. Some are principles. If you do this, your life's going to be better, right? I personally have always been this kind of person that, well, actually, I just watched my brother. If you know my brother, I think I would just say the opposite of me. That might be the word that would be good. He listens to these sermons a lot of times. And so he would go through the pain of getting in trouble because he just wanted to see how far he could go or how, you know, how much he could get away with. I was on the other side. I wanted no part of it. I was like, okay, so if I do this, I'm good. If I do that, I'm not. Well, I'm going to do this. It's super simple. Like, you don't need to go through the pain of mistakes to learn. In fact, young people, anybody in the room, if you've been told that, that is a lie. You do not need to go through pain to realize what the truth is, because the Bible generally will just lay it out there for us. Honor our father and mother. Guess what? As a child, your life is a lot better, a lot easier. As adults, if we follow the rules for the road, we're going to grow. Even the principles, the things that just are laid there. And Romans 12, the first couple verses really jumps out and just starts to talk about this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And when I look into those scriptures, the main thing that jumps out to me is I want to present myself, right? I want to present myself as a living sacrifice. I want to present myself whole before the Lord. And that cannot happen if my goal is to conform to the world. If I just want my life to be easy, so whatever is in front of me, whatever, whoever, it could be religious leaders that don't line up with the word. It could be our government leaders. It could be our news or just media or social media. It could be so many things, our culture that works to conform people to think the same way, that is generally anti-Bible. When we conform, then we miss out on the transformation of what God wants to do. We are all being transformed. It just matters if it's in a conforming way away from the word of God or in a transforming way to who God has called us to be. It is vital. It is vital that we let God do the transforming. J.B. Phillips has an outstanding and memorable translation of these two verses. He says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. That true maturity, following him, being transformed, that's what I want my life to be, molded into the image of Christ, molded as he would have us be. There's something powerful about letting the God of the universe transform us. There's something powerful about understanding that the most intelligent creator, that who he is, we get to worship him. We get to praise him. We get to lift up voice to him. But we must understand who he is. We must look to be transformed by who he is. He created us. He molded us. He made us. And now my prayer is, Lord, don't let that stop. Don't let my conformity to the world miss and make me miss the mark of who you've called me to be. But Lord, as you created me, now let my life be molded into your spirit, into your word, into your truth. We need God to speak through us. The question can't be in our life, how do I feel? What do I do? But must be, what is true here? What does God's word say? How can I use what God has blessed me with to show his love? God has great things he wants to do in you to mold you and through you as he sends you out, as we come together with a heart for his house. Leave the proof of inward transformation will show in our actions and behavior. If you say, I don't know how, or I don't know whether my life is on track, look at your actions. Look at your behavior. Are you serving him? Are you honoring him? Is anger or anxiety or worry, is that what's leading you and guiding you? Or even in the tough times, are you giving it to God? Are you letting him be all that you need? Are you letting him shape and form you? The transformed life looks more and more and more like God because the actions and behavior look more and more and more like God as that inward molding is taking place in our spirit. We must be transformed to follow and to have a heart like God's. The second thing today is we must be together. Verses 3 through 5 say, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." I believe when we think of the church and we think of being together, the biggest thing that we have that is a block in our life, maybe we could use the word pride, I'm just going to say that we all know everything. Every one of us is 100% right. In fact, if I just, you know, raised hand, how much do you think that you're correct? You don't actually have to. I bet if I said, do you think you're 99% right all the time? Probably all of us would be like, that's me. I'm right all the time. Whether we would actually do that in a group setting, we feel pretty strongly that we've arrived. It's all of you out there. It's all the other people that need to figure out how to get where I am, right? Is anybody else? It's so easy to live in that way, to think I have the answer, and if you don't think like I think, then we can't be friends. In fact, that's the exact culture right now that we're in, a culture of if you and I disagree, then you're done. I don't care about you. I'll find somebody that believes and acts and talks like me. This is not a God-honoring way. And in fact, when we think about the Word of God, when we think about ourselves, how do we possibly think more highly of ourselves than we should? Because this is the deal. What are we without God? In fact, I think right now we could do really well at making lists. I'm sure you couldn't think of your own, but if you have a spouse or someone that knows you, they could write a long list of the things that you've done that are not good, right? Someone that knows you, or you could do it yourself, but that doesn't sound fun. So it'd be way more fun to look at someone else. But you could write a long list of things that they did. Sin, things that hurt someone. I could tell you for hours. I don't want to, but I could tell you for hours of things where I missed the mark. We don't need to think more highly of ourselves because without the grace of God, we are nothing. We're just failures. We have nothing. But when we come into the grace of God, all of a sudden he brings us together. And right away, I should be able to go into a conversation understanding I may not know everything. I might have just this morning, whoever, whatever your situation, yelled at a spouse or got angry or, you know, driving, had a little road rage or, you know, whatever you could throw in your thing. We have problems. I see some of you laughing about road rage there. Maybe I'm not sure if that was like directly for you, but we have our own issues. We don't need to think more highly of ourselves. But the Word of God gets into verse 5. It talks about individually members one of another. And there's something powerful about the individuality of all of us. There's something powerful about us all bringing our individuality into the body of Christ, bringing who we are into the body of Christ when we walk in unity. Now, that can be a negative. If you don't let God bring us together, then I say they're different from me and I don't want any part of them. But when we are coming together in the kingdom, that should not be the way that it is. Someone with a mindset that should train me and help me and help me grow. And guess what? Sometimes someone around us, I may be like, I don't know if I 100% agree, even inside the church. If you didn't know, we can disagree. But our individuality brings us together. Now, some things, sin issues, we just have to line up with the Word. So in the end, if it's a sin issue, we got to come in alignment with the Word of God. So that's not what I'm talking about. But all of our other individual quirkiness, the things that we do, how we sometimes, even the Word of God can speak different things. When we bring our individuality together and experience God, we are better for it. Our theology gets better because there's other ideas and thoughts and opinions, and you bring them together and you learn and you grow from one another. Our small groups are a lot better with other people than if I'm by myself, because there's iron that sharpens iron. There's someone that encourages me and helps me. Teams are way better with not just me. That's not a very good team. But when we have a bunch of people, then kids ministry is fun. Worship team or being out in the foyer for connections. It's fun. It's exciting because we are together. We're serving individuals that are coming together to show who God is to our world. The proof of being together will shine as our individuality does not break our unity. but as instead our individuality shines forth our unity and makes it stronger because we're doing life together as individuals, different people from different backgrounds, from different areas, coming together and experiencing the power of God in might and authority. Rules for the road is being transformed, is being together. And the last one is, we're going to use a T, talented, or gifts. You have gifts, you have talent. There's things that you must use for God. Verses 6 through 8 say, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. When I think about these different gifts, we think about the individuality we just talked about. The church is not much if all of us don't bring our gifts and talents together. This morning, I don't see Bill here, but we have Bill Sugeris. He mows at church for 4 to 6 hours every Friday. He comes before I'm here, before any of us are here. He gets the mower out and he mows. Normally, he runs it out of gas, comes, fills it up, and does it again. It takes people that no one else knows that Bill Sugeris comes and mows the grass. It takes people to come and to fold and to cut the stuff that you are handed when you're handed stuff. It takes people to do so many different areas, and it takes teachers to teach. It takes us all using the giftings and talents. It takes those that are being used in prophetic. Something that I really found interesting is in proportion to our faith, the ancient Greek text actually has the before faith, the faith. Paul may be cautioning that prophecy must be according to the faith, in accord with the accepted body of doctrine held among believers. And I believe that he's saying there's something happens when we don't just all come together and do our thing, but we come under the faith, under the word of God, the truth of who he is, because all of a sudden our prophecy, our ministry, our teaching, our giving, our leadership, even showing mercy lines up with the word of God. It's all the faith, the truth of who God is. It means we come together, we have a heart like his heart, we have a heart that shines each of these areas, and there's so many more, that when your talent is lined up with the faith, with the truth, that we come together and our world will experience him. There'll be something powerful that takes place. There'll be something that happens in here on a Sunday morning that leads us outside of these walls, because worship isn't about 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. Although I love worship, I love it, but worship is an act of my life. It's an act of who I am. It's an act of going. It's an act of living for him with everything I am. The proof of our talent is shown through the level of grace in our service. And today I believe that there's people that you are here, a whole bunch of new people. I hope you're going to join us in LifeTrack. If you're signed up or not, join us. It's going to be fun. But there's a whole bunch of other people that you're just here. And if God is calling you to step into this house, to have a heart for this house, then let's use the gifts, the talents that God has given us. Let's have grace for one another. Let's let the individuality of each of us come in small groups, come together in teams, come together in service, come together in even giving and pouring the message of the gospel all around the world in support of missionaries. Let's multiply, seeing more disciples, more leaders, more campuses, more people in the kingdom of God. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's follow his rules. Let's live the transformed life. As we close today, I'm going to ask you maybe to come to an altar, or maybe to kneel at your seat, or to stand at your seat, or maybe today it's getting out your phone. Go into radiant.family, and maybe you've never started being a part of the house. Maybe you're in giving, in teams, in groups. Maybe today you'd say, you know what? I want to sign up to lead a group. I want to sign up to be in kids ministry next week or the next week or, you know, once or twice a month. And you say, I want to be a part of our greeting, of whatever area it may be. I believe that God wants to use this house to reach his world. He wants to use your gifts. Wants us to do it together. we can transform our world with the message of the gospel, so your life and mine can be transformed, so we can experience him. This morning, if you've never given your life to Jesus, the biggest transformation is when you come and you offer him your heart and you begin to walk for him. And all you have to do is right where you are, ask him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn of those things. And now I'm going to make you Lord of my life. And just like that, he welcomes you into the family. In fact, it says in heaven, there's a party that happens in heaven. And I would encourage you, if you need to do that today, if you need to ask for forgiveness in some area, do it. But then, do you have a heart for his house? Both here and out there. And maybe he would lead you something in your home or your community or where you work, how you can be a Team Life member out there, that you can be multiplying the kingdom of God. So right now, I pray you just have a heart that's open, that you're all in with who he is. If you would, all over the room, you can sit, you can stand, whatever is comfortable, but we're going to worship. And I just want to pray over you as we let God speak. So Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that you move. We're thankful that you transform us. We're thankful that you bring us together in unity. Lord, we're thankful that you give us gifts. You give us talents. You give us a move of your spirit, God. And we ask you to move right now. Lord, we pray that you would help each of us to use the gifts in the right roles, in the right ways. You'd help each of us to be faithful to your call. And Lord, I pray that each person in this room, Lord, that you would speak to them, confirming maybe where they're already serving, confirming what they're already doing, or maybe new challenges, new areas, new things, God. Lord, would you help us to line up with your truth, to line up with your word. Lord, would you take care of this house, the areas in kids ministry, the areas, Lord, that we could use help, in Royal Rangers, in girls ministries, specifically with our kids today. God, we ask that you would fill every role, Lord, as we reach our world. So Lord, would you speak to us as we worship? Would you speak to us as we just turn to you? Radiant Life, well, I love you. Have a great, great day. And can't wait to see you next week. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.